Brother Curtis. I asked him to find that song and let us sing it. And I told him that on Wednesday. And I didn't tell him I needed it for Sunday morning. So we sang it. It's Wednesday night, and you got to hear it again tonight. I mean, this morning. Praise the Lord for that. All right, we're going to be in our Bibles in the book of Luke. If you would turn to the book of Luke. As I've been preparing messages, Pastor gave me a list of dates that he was asking me to be ready to preach on. And as I studied the Bible and been writing messages and all this, so if there seems to be a similar tone in some things, that's the Lord. And I think that I said that this morning, that about the third time we hear something is about the time we retain it. And so one of the passages of Scripture this morning, Pastor preached last week, and I thought, I've already written the message, Lord. And he's preaching my text. What do I do? And the Lord said, preach it anyway, because it's not going to be the same message. Amen? And that's great about the Word of God, is that we could preach the same passage of Scripture. I heard preachers talk about, they had 100 and some messages for John 3:16, and none of them were the same. God's Word's alive and living, and what a great thing that God has blessed us with. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5. And then we're going to also be in Luke chapter 19, if you want to just stick your finger there real quick. That song really is the title of the message, I Must See Jesus. And I pray that you've come here this morning, as Robert said, to praise God. But I hope you've come here seeking Jesus. Not come here for a social event, but we do praise the Lord for fellowship. But I hope and pray that we have come here this morning saying, I must see Jesus and nothing else will do. Let's read there. We're going to read in chapter 5 and start with, let's back up to verse 12. And it says, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And then Jesus tells him, don't tell anybody. Go show the priest what great things God has done. We get down there to verse 17, which was the text, I believe, last Sunday. And it says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Doesn't say it did heal them. It says it was present to heal them. But let me tell you, this is a religious crowd. And they're not there to see Jesus. Oh, they're there to see something. They're there to show their wisdom, how wise they are. They're a religious crowd. Sometimes folks come to church to be religious, but they don't come to see Jesus. I pray you came to see Jesus this morning. In verse 18 it says, And behold, the men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. And they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. But look what it says in verse 26. Those are the guys that were left, that religious group, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now, I have to say that some of those characters that were there were not there. They were not glorifying God, and they were not filled with fear because they crucified our Savior, that same group, a short time later. If you'll just quickly turn over to chapter 19, one of our favorite passages of Scripture, especially as children love to hear about Zacchaeus. Amen? I love old Zacchaeus. This passage goes right along with it. The first man said, he saw Jesus and he fell on his face. And he didn't fall on his face of the apostles. He didn't fall on his face of the scribes and the Pharisees. He had to see Jesus and he fell on his face. The next man can't even get to Jesus. He couldn't fall on his face before Jesus. He had to have some help to get before Jesus, but nothing but Jesus would do. And here's Zacchaeus. He's one of those old wicked Pharisees and publicans, a rich man. And he says, "I must see Jesus, and nothing else is going to do." Look what it says in verse 1. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Oh, he had to see Jesus. I mean, here's a rich, can you see this rich guy, his $1,000 suit and $1,000 shoes, climbing a sycamore tree because "I must see Jesus." Said he was a very rich man. And he said, "Nothing else is going to, I got to see this Jesus." And I love what Jesus told him. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. You think that surprised Jesus? He knew he was there. He was. Jesus went by. Think about this. Jesus went by that way just so he could see Zacchaeus. Just so Zacchaeus could see him. Nothing occurred to Jesus. Nothing caught him by surprise. Jesus went that passage on purpose so that Zacchaeus could climb that tree, so that Zacchaeus could meet the Savior. And he said, when Jesus came to the place, he looked and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I mean, these guys, that religious crowd, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he hath gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Join the crowd, guys. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the hat," he said, "Master." He's calling Jesus Master. Zacchaeus is getting saved here, folks. He's repenting of his sin. He's recognizing Christ as the Lord. And he says, "Behold the Lord, and half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore to him fourfold." Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. God, I pray if there's a soul here that does not know you as their Savior, maybe they're religious, maybe they've been in church, maybe they've been baptized, maybe they've been whatever, but they've never actually met the Savior. God, I pray they not leave here. I pray without this attitude of Zacchaeus and these two sick men realizing that they're undone without meeting the Savior, regardless of religion, regardless of their knowledge, without Jesus, they're undone and headed to a devil's hell. Lord, I pray no one would leave here today wondering whether Jesus is their Savior. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen. So, you know, there are people, there are people that come looking for jobs these days. And they come to a prospective employer and they come with a lot of restrictions, you know. They say, "I want a job, but I won't do this and I won't do that." And I can't work here and I can't work there. And I have to have this amount of money, these benefits, this kind of treatment. Now, what can you do for me? Who does it sound like filling out the application? The employer sounds like that to me. Most employers would say to that individual, I don't think I have anything that fits your criteria. You need to go look for a job somewhere else. As opposed to a man or a woman saying, I'm hungry. I need to pay the rent, my electric bill. I'll work hard. I'll learn fast. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll be faithful. I'll be on time. You will not regret hiring me. Do you have anything that I can do for you? So there's a difference, isn't there? Somebody say, what can you do for me? The other one says, what can I do for you? I've said it before that the unemployment problem, so-called, in America could be solved real quick. We could have zero unemployment in a matter of a very short amount of time. And it's called hunger. If you get hungry, you'll take whatever job that's out there. You don't have to. You could drive through Dumas and there's help wanted signs everywhere. Dalhart's the same way. Our whole country's got help wanted signs. It's just we got people who want to put stipulations and say, well, I won't take that amount of pay. I mean, I'm making more than that on welfare. There you go. So you remove welfare, and food stamps, and all these other things that healthy individuals. I'm not talking about disabled or elderly or sick. I'm talking about healthy adults are taking from America. You remove that stuff, that individual's going to have his belly growling. He's going to take that $8 an hour job or $10 an hour job. He's not going to think it's beneath him to work because he's hungry. But it's all unemployment. Now you got another taxpayer, and we have our debt being taken care of as a country. Not to mention we have less people on the rolls. Now that's just a commercial, but listen, many people are approaching salvation and approaching serving the King the same exact way. They come and say, "What can you offer me? I mean, I'll get saved if you can do this for me or that for me. And be sure that it's not inconvenient for me. It's got to be convenient. It can't be strenuous. I can't have to sacrifice anything. I want a bed of roses. Do you have anything for me?" You know, if I could just say a prayer and then stay the same old person. If I could just say ABC, repeat after me, but I don't have to become a new creature, then I'll be saved. Then I'll take the Savior then. I'm telling you, according to the Bible, God doesn't have any salvation in that capacity. You know, that person who says, I'd like to serve God in this capacity. I'll do this or I'll do that, but I won't do none of those things. I don't change dirty diapers. I don't unplug toilets. And I'm a germaphobe. I don't want to shake anybody's hand. But I'll do pretty much anything else. I want to serve God, but can't consume. I'm a really busy person. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God could fix that. He could make you not so busy. I'm so busy, I don't have time to serve the Lord. And I'm really busy. And listen, it can't cost me anything. And it must fit my lifestyle to serve the King. What can you do for me? As opposed to the song that we heard, I must have Jesus. I must see Jesus. Whatever the cost, whatever I must do, I completely surrender my will, my life. It's no longer mine, Lord. It's yours. I am a sinner and I'm headed to hell without Christ as my Savior. God, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer in Acts 16, he saw Silas and Paul, and he says, what must I do? I want to be saved like you are. I want what you have. They were dirty, filthy, chained in a prison cell. And the jailer said, I got to have what you got. I want the God you have. I must have Jesus. What must I do to see Jesus? See, unless you come to the Lord like that, you are not saved. If you've never come to Christ like that, you're dying and going to a devil's hell.
See, that's kind of rough. Listen, salvation's simple. It is. Don't bring your criteria for God to save you. Listen, God says, here it is. It's a simple gift. My Son paid it all on the cross. He died for all your sins, the sins of the whole world. And it takes care of every sin, past, present, and future. You're saved to the uttermost. It's a free gift. All you have to do is repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior. And it's done. That's pretty simple. I mean, the Bible says it's easy as a child can understand. Praise the Lord. I got saved about that area of a church one Sunday night, by the way, when I was 5 years old. Listen, 5 year olds can get saved and they can listen to preaching, by the way. It was a Sunday night service. And I realized I'm the guy going to hell. I'm the one. My sin at 5 years old was great enough to send me to hell. And I realized that. And my mom looks and says, "What are you crying for?" I'm like, "Mom, I'm going to hell." She's like, "What? I'm going to hell. I'm the guy the preacher's talking about." Man, I appreciate my mom and dad took me right into the pastor's study. And they went over the plan of salvation. I received Christ as my Savior that night. I had enough sin as a 5 year old to go to hell. Did you know that? You're born with enough sin. You don't have to be an axe murderer to go to hell. Listen, you could be born. You're born with an Adamic nature. The sin of Adam. That's all you need. And unless we come to a Savior without terms, we're not coming the right way. If we're trying to add anything to the terms that Christ laid out in the Word of God, we're not coming the right way. He said, "Lord, take my life and let it be. I'll put down my nets and I'll follow you, whatever the cost." You think about what it cost those disciples to follow Christ. Eventually, it cost them their life, except for the Apostle John. And, you know, John had it easy. He only got boiled in oil and then put on an island with no trees. So you imagine a burn victim out in the sun all the time. I mean, he didn't have it easy, folks. But these men were saying, I must have Jesus and nothing else will do. I must see Jesus. I must have Jesus. I must. And without any terms, I'll pick up my cross daily and I'll follow you. Not my will, but thine. So the first man came and says, "I need to be healed of my disease." And listen, nothing but Jesus will do. I don't want to see anybody else. Listen, if you're not saved today, you cannot stay home and meet Jesus watching him on TV, because that's not where he's at. I must see Jesus and anything will do. Listen, I don't need to be an apostle of Joel Osteen. I need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't need to be a member of Bible Baptist Church to go to heaven. I need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Once I am saved, I need to be a part of a local New Testament church. I need to have the proper baptism. It's important. Why? Because Jesus said so. That's pretty good authority. By the way, Jesus got baptized to show you and me how he did it. And he didn't get baptized with a cup of water. He walked 60 miles in sandals on a dirt road to show you immersion. That's pretty good. Pretty good example, isn't it? Jesus walked 60 miles on a dirt road to show you that you have to go under the water and back up to show the death, burial, and resurrection. None of this stuff. Listen, when I die, please don't sprinkle dirt on me, because I'm going to stink in a few days. I won't bury it all the way under. And that's the only thing that shows. I mean, immersion is the only thing that shows that we're the death, burial, and resurrection. I got to get my own. That's not even in my notes. Nothing but Jesus will do. Now, many here may have tried other things first. Probably most adults, people that have gotten saved as a teenager or an adult, tried something prior to Jesus. They tried another way to relieve their suffering. And these men and these examples here, sick of the palsy, man of leprosy. I mean, these individuals, they had sought any way for relief and they realized, "I must see Jesus." Most individuals that get saved outside of childhood, they've messed up some things in their life. They've tried to find peace of God somewhere else. And they realize, I must see Jesus. And then they came with no conditions and said, I must see Jesus. I don't care what it costs me. I must see Jesus. I don't need anything else, anybody else. I need Jesus. Unless you come to Jesus that way, how could you be saved? Many have tried every easy fix there is before coming to Christ. Those things were temporary fixes, like a Band-Aid. We know that a Band-Aid doesn't heal. It may cover some things up for a while, but it doesn't heal anything. Most of the time, it just hurts when it comes off. And maybe you've tried to dictate to God how He could have you. Well, God, all you can have me if. And you put one of these stipulations I said earlier, and you come to the point where you realize that, listen, God is God, not me. God, give me the Word of God so I understand. Maybe you've tried to dictate to God as a Christian on what you would be willing to do. Listen, until you lay your whole life on that altar and say, it's all yours. Every inch from head to toe is all yours. You have not surrendered to God's will. I don't care how old or how young you are. If you have not given God the whole enchilada, you have not surrendered to God's will. I mean, listen, you're not ready to serve God until you give Him everything. When you realize that you're not your own, that you're all His. He bought and paid for you on the cross. So we must all come to the conclusion that nothing but Jesus will do. I must tell Jesus. And I wonder, have you come to God's house today with this in mind? I must have Jesus. Or have you come to God's house today with some stipulations? Some stipulations that, well, you know, I'm doing God a favor by being here. Or I'm doing the church a favor. I mean, they're just so blessed by my appearance here today. Folks, that ain't the case. I'm glad you're here. Praise the Lord you're here. But you're not doing God a favor by being here today. God did you a favor by sending His only begotten Son to die on a cross at Calvary so you could hear the gospel in a Bible-believing church like this. Who's doing who the favor? Amen? What have you sacrificed to be here today? Listen, I can't wait. This man on the roof, he says, I can't wait for a more convenient time. I can't wait till the religious crowd gets out of the way. I can't wait till there's room for me in the house. He says, I can't wait for a more convenient day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're lost and going to hell, today's the day to get saved. Not tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. James says that your life is but a vapor. Poof, it could be gone. Just like that. How many of us know somebody that died this year that probably thought they had another year or another day, but they didn't? I'm telling you what, there is not a more convenient time. If you have to tear the roof off to get to see Jesus, let's do it. Today is the day. This man came and he says, I will not be turned away. I will not be discouraged or prevented from my Savior. Nothing will hinder me from meeting Christ. Nothing. And I pray that if you're lost here today, that that's the way you will come this morning and say, nothing's going to stop me. I don't care if my wife gets mad at me. I don't care if my neighbors don't like me. I don't care if my kids freak out on me. I need to meet Jesus today. I need Jesus. Why? Because the heaven's a real place, but so is hell. This man says, listen, I won't be turned away. I'm coming to Jesus. We need to come to the Lord like that today. See, what would it take to turn you away? Well, there's somebody sitting next to me. I mean, the church is too crowded. By the way, it's not. But, I mean, you know, they say when a church gets 80% full, you have to add on because they don't like to sit any closer than that together. What? I won't see Jesus because somebody's sitting too close to me? What would, you know, listen, the Syrophoenician woman, when she came to Jesus, she said, nothing but Jesus will do, and I'm going to see Jesus. Nothing's going to discourage me. And Jesus Himself called her a dog. Now, I would be a little discouraging, wouldn't it? To have the Savior Himself say, you dog.
She says, yes, Lord. Listen, if you don't say yes, Lord, you're not saved. Yes, Lord, I am a dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. See, she's saying, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. But Lord, I'll take it. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I need whatever you will give me. If you've not done that today, if you've come to Jesus saying, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church. I don't drink, cuss, or chew and date those that do, however it goes. I don't do all those things. Well, hallelujah, you're still dying and going to hell without Jesus as your Savior. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior and you've not come to Him that way and not seen yourself like that Syrophoenician woman, she saw herself as a dog, a lost individual in need of a Savior, and nothing but Jesus would do. You know what? The other lady says, listen, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. I mean, nothing but Jesus would do. Just the hem of Jesus' garment. What would turn you away? A runny nose tonight? Well, I can't be faithful to God's house because I got a runny nose. What would keep you from going to God's house? Well, gas is $3 a gallon, for crying out loud. You can't expect me to go to church 3 times a week. I mean, it costs me money. Hey, it didn't cost you your life. Some people will walk farther than you drive to church around the world. Well, we don't have that church doesn't have a piano player. Now, folks, I'm talking from experience. That church is ugly. Got an old barnwood front. I mean, and that preacher preaches loud. So some of you can hear me. They're trying to sleep. But these are excuses that I have been given as a pastor why you don't come to church. I can't afford it. They got no parking. You know, I might have to walk a whole block to get to the front door. But I'll walk half a mile at the mall to get to the front door. Walmart's parking lot's farther than you'll ever walk here. But I've literally been told half a block to the front door is too far to walk. You know, no good parking. See, whatever the cost, whatever I must do, seeing Jesus has nothing to do with those things. $3 a gallon gas is not. That has nothing to do with seeing Jesus. If you want to see Jesus, He'll make a way. Listen, a roof over your head needing to tear a hole in it didn't stop this guy. The first man says, if thou will. I mean, he had faith in Him. He had faith in the Savior and nothing else would do. He said, listen, if thou will. Jesus said, I will. It is my will. Be thou healed. Well, I tell you what, I like that, don't you? Not, listen now, you've got to come to church faithfully, and you've got to do all these sacraments, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do this, and the list gets longer as time goes by. The traditions of men and the commandments of men get longer to get to heaven. That's what Jesus said. He said, I will, be thou clean. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, I am undone. I am a sinner. I deserve a devil's hell. And I'm undone. And nothing but Jesus will do. If thou will, He says, I will, be thou clean. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? He said even a child can understand that. Some of us adults have a hard time understanding that. You know what? If faith was in Jesus, it wasn't in the litter bearers. Litter bearers would be a picture of the preacher bringing an individual or a soul winner, bringing somebody to Christ. I mean, there's some effort on their part. Pastor talked some about that last week. But their faith wasn't in the litter bearer. Otherwise, they wouldn't have climbed on the roof, tore a hole in the roof and lowered him down to meet Jesus. They would have taken care of it out in this alley. Nothing but Jesus would do. These men, praise the Lord for the litter bearers. Amen. These men were faithful What a good friend. I mean, can you imagine? I'm going to take you up on the roof. I'm going to tear a hole in the neighbor's roof. And whatever it costs me, I'll fix it later. But we're going to get this man to Jesus. We're going to get him to meet the Savior. However, how many of us are like that with our lost loved ones and friends? That it may cost me something. Yes, it might. It may cost some time and effort and all those things. I may have to get up early and go pick them up for church on the bus. I may have to call them on Saturday to remind them church is tomorrow. Whatever. I might have to go out on Tuesday nights and knock on a door. I might have to stay home and pray on Tuesday nights and while somebody else knocks on a door. But it might take some of your precious time. But listen, praise the Lord for a litter bearer. You know, that man's faith was not in the guys inside the building, because it was just a bunch of wicked old lost religious folks. You know, there are churches full today of traditions and sacraments and works and water, but just Jesus will save you. They didn't. We read that passage of Scripture again in Luke 5. That group of men inside that room, well, that was a religious crowd. That was where the educated guys. Those were the smart guys, you know, smarter than Jesus. Yeah. They weren't there to meet Jesus, by the way. They were there to show how smart they were. They wanted to argue Scripture with the one who wrote it. They didn't even have faith in Jesus. They didn't even know who He was. Matter of fact, they ridiculed Him for healing the man. He heals man, says, "I will, be thou clean." He says, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the man who's been sick of the palsy and paralyzed gets up and walks. What would we do? Praise God. That's what you should do. Praise God. When some, and I've seen this, some dirty old vagrant or somebody just not like everybody else in the church comes to an old-fashioned altar realizing they must see Jesus and God makes them a new creature, and members of the church still skirt around them. Listen, that ought not be us. We ought never do that. I'm not saying I've seen that here, but I have seen it. Where they're not the in crowd. They're not in my clique. Listen, we ought never be a church of cliques. We ought to be a church of Jesus Christ. That man didn't have faith in the religious crowd, because they were just along for the ride. They just want to see some magic show by Jesus and show Him how smart they were. There are many religious but lost folks who just want to argue how smart they are. You know some. You know who I'm talking about. That one who wants to argue that salvation's not that simple. But. I know the Scripture says that, but. But here's what the Scripture does say. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, if you're so wise in your own conceit, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, the Bible says. They know Scripture forward and backwards. They're their favorite little Scriptures. We're going to talk more about that tonight. I don't want to preach tonight's message. But they said, "I must see Jesus. I must. Nothing else is going to do. I can't. There's no substitute today." Listen, if you've come here for anything else other than to meet Jesus, I want to tell you that's not what you should be here for. Praise the Lord for fellowship. I love Christian fellowship, but listen, we need to meet Jesus. We need to come to church saying, "I'm going to meet with God today. I'm going to spend some time with my Savior today. And I get to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ while I'm there." That's a fringe benefit, but coming to meet Jesus is what I'm here for. And I don't care if I have to replace a roof. How much do you want to see the Savior today? It might cost you. It might cost you some time. I don't care what the crowd's going to think of me. Listen, if you sell out Christians, I'm talking about if you're already saved, born again, but if you're going to sell out for Christ, somebody's going to think you're nuts. Even if you're already saved. You're going to lose some family. I promise you.
you're going to lose some friends. You're going to lose some popularity. But what's most important? I must see Jesus. I must see Jesus. I must see Jesus. And the only way you're going to meet Him is when the hem of His garment is more precious to you than a light show. I mean, I don't have to go to the fanciest church to meet Jesus, by the way. I can meet Jesus with the Word of God. I can meet Jesus on my face. Listen, you don't have to get saved in a church. I mean, if you're lost here today, I'd encourage you to get saved before you leave. You can get saved in the field. You can get saved driving down the road. It's realizing that I'm a sinner and I'm undone without Christ and I need a Savior. I'm nothing but Jesus will do. Maybe you've tried some things to find happiness or to feel more religious, but they didn't bring satisfaction. See, there in verse 26, some of them went away amazed, but lost. I believe some of those men left having seen Jesus with their own eyes do a miracle, but never having received Jesus as their personal Savior. You can't have mom's Jesus or grandpa's Jesus. That will not do. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not that, well, my family's always been. I don't care what your family's always been. Well, I got baptized. I don't care where you got baptized. It is important that you get baptized as obedience. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. You could get dunked a dozen times and still burn in the lake of fire forever. You better get saved and you must see Jesus. I don't mean some hallucinogenic vision and flopping on the floor. I mean, with my heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. Some of those men left that day amazed, but lost. You could say this morning, wow, that was an awesome message. I hope you do. And die and go to hell this afternoon. Because if you don't see Jesus, if you don't meet Him personally and have the Savior of the Bible, you are undone. Some may leave the church having seen Jesus in the Word of God, amazed at the gospel, and that's not enough. It's not enough. You must have Him as your personal Savior. Some went away from there in verse 26, amazed and glorified and feared God. But let me tell you, one went away healed, and nothing else would do. I mean, wouldn't this be great if that was you today? If you were the one that this man, he picked up his own bed and walked out of the house. I don't know how long he had been a cripple. I don't know how long you've been lost and going to hell. But he picked it up and walked out on his own, of his own power. Because he saw Jesus and received Christ. I mean, listen, this morning, don't leave here having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and die and go to hell. Receive. I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, everybody will think I'm a hypocrite because I've proclaimed Christ my whole life. Listen, I wouldn't let my next door neighbor let me go to hell. Who cares what they think? If you're not saved, you need to take care of that today. See, many would leave and without Him. And I'm telling you, many are leaving churches this morning without Christ. Oh, they're the Pharisees. They're the Sadducees. They know what the Bible says. Tonight I'm going to talk more about that. But I'm telling you, if you leave here without Christ, you're undone. So this morning, what would you do to see Jesus? What would you do as a Christian this morning to see a great work done in God's house? What would you do? Would you be a part? Just a little part. Listen, if you could just be the middle man on the litter. Maybe you got one corner of the litter. Maybe you remove one tile of the roof. But to have some part in bringing the man to Jesus, what would you do? Would it just be too much for you to pray the finals are on. I can't miss the game. That's more important than the soul burning in hell. Well, you know, I got this thing. What thing is more important than Jesus? Folks, listen. Many think they're sold out for Christ. Many think that God has got all of them. But He doesn't. I mean, you may be saved, born again. You could tell me the day you got saved, how you got saved, and you're sure you're a born again child of God. But maybe you're not sold out 100% to God. Many think they are. Most faithful Christians that come to church regularly think they're sold out to God and aren't. There's something in their life they still hang on to. There's an area of their life that's just theirs and not God's. Hey, I'll give you this much, you leave me alone on this little thing over here. It's me and myself and I. Listen, you haven't sold out to God as long as you still got that. I mean, why would you not give Him 100%, no strings attached? Would you remain faithful? And I'm going to close with this. If you're a child of God, would you be a litter bearer? Would you bear that litter and bring someone to Christ? I'm going to tell you, I'm harping on it. I know. If you have not filled one of these out and turned it in, I mean, you're saying, I will not bring anybody to Christ. I won't even pray for them. I won't make a phone call, write a letter. I won't knock on a door. I will not be a litter bearer. I will not crawl up on the roof. I will not remove a tile. They're on their own. If my neighbor's going to get to heaven, that's going to be on them. I'm not have nothing to do with it. Now, you say, I'm sold out to Christ. Young person, have you filled out one of these? Listen, you could be a prayer warrior. Pray for your friend at school. Just put on here. I'll pray. I don't care how old you are. Listen, can you pray? Or make a phone call or write a letter. Listen, say, well, I'm not going to be a part of that. Then you say, and I will not be a litter bearer. I will not be sold out completely. See, there were a lot of religious people here that day. But most of them wouldn't give a hoot about the man that needed to see Jesus. You know what? They wouldn't even get out of the way. They plugged the door. They wouldn't even let the sick man in to see Jesus. Because they were so important. They would do nothing to inconvenience them to see Jesus. Folks, let's not be like that as a Christian. Let us be the litter bearer. If you're saved, be a litter bearer. You ought to be a litter bearer. You ought to have an active part in this soul-winning, soul-conscious part of Bible Baptist Church. If you will not, you are a very selfish individual. I got it. I don't care whether anybody else gets it. I'm saved and going to heaven. Hallelujah. But I don't care whether anybody else goes. How selfish does that sound? I've got the cure to hell, but I'm not sharing it with anybody else. Well, I mean, I know that's a sucker punch, but let me tell you, that's the truth, folks. If you will not surrender your life to be a litter bearer, you don't care whether somebody sees Jesus. I want to encourage you today. Tell the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes, I'll be a part. I don't know what I can do, but whatever it is, Lord, You show me, I'll be a part. I want to be a part collectively of my church, being soul conscious and winning our community to Christ. And I individually want to be a part of seeing my family and friends come to know Christ. I want to be a part. I want them to see the Jesus that I saw. I want them to see the cure that I've got. And I'll bear the litter with them. And if you're lost here today, folks, you are on the litter. I pray You're here today. You're here. They've already let you through the doors. You're already come through the ceiling. Now would you see Jesus? Would you walk out of here a child of God today? Or will you walk out here the same old thing that walked in the door? And I'm not preaching on hell this morning, but hell's a real place. You don't want to walk out here not sure. I'm going to ask you this. If you're not 100% sure that if you died today and you would go to heaven, 100, not 99.9, I'm talking about 100% sure that you would go to heaven, you could take care of that today. You could take care of it just like that. Why? Because Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. It was that easy. If thou will, I will. I will, be thou clean. Jesus is telling you, if you don't know 100% sure, Jesus is telling you this morning, I will, be thou clean. He wants to save you, but you have to accept the gift. It's not forced upon you. Say, well, I'm pretty sure. The Bible says that you can know for a fact. It says, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life, not that you may guess. How do you sleep at night not knowing for sure? If you're not sure heaven is your home, folks, don't leave here today. Please, I'm begging you, don't leave here without Christ. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads. God is so good to us. Christian, you have a job. God did not leave you here for no reason at all. He left you here to be a litter bearer. Maybe you're here today and don't know heaven is your home. Please don't hesitate. Come. Somebody will show you out of God's word that you may know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. Please do not put it off. Nothing is worth going to hell for. On you adults, you see somebody up here and need somebody to pray with, be a litter bearer. Come pray with them. Don't make them bear a burden by themselves. Come pray with them.